Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, and our guest is J.C. Church. He is the Midwest Regional Director of the Family Research Council. Pastor Church, the Family Research Council is encouraging pastors to take on threats to faith, family, and freedom. Be watchmen on the wall, to be part of the Watchmen Pastors Network. How can they do that?
Well, the vision of FRC is to encourage pastors, to champion pastors, to transform and touch America. Number one, I believe if every pastor would speak up and preach on the issues of the day from the Word of God. So we need to pray, we need to preach, and we need to partner. So we're asking pastors to genuinely be in intense prayer about the issues that we face as a nation, to preach the Word of God. And give the. I believe most people are looking for answers. Give us the truth. Give us what does the Bible say. So preach, and then to partner, to connect themselves together with people in their state so that we can respond to anything that brings a threat to the faith, family, and freedom.
When you say preach the Word of God, for a lot of pastors that means, well, we're just going to preach a salvation message, and we're going to shy away from some of these social and cultural issues. You say that's not the way to go.
No, I don't believe so. I believe certainly we want to preach the salvation message, but we want to preach the whole gospel. And we're living in a unique day and time, Monty, where I believe the moral issues have been hijacked politically to the point that people think they are political, whether it's the abortion issue, family issues. Those are moral issues. One man said it to me this way. He said, why is the church getting involved in the definition of family? And I said, no, wait a minute. Why is the government getting involved in the definition of the family? We've been dealing with this since Genesis chapter 1. So we didn't get into their world. They kind of got into our world. And so, you know, I believe if we preach the whole council and teach it, that's the answer.
To become a watchman on the wall, pastors have to kind of engage. They're already busy folks. How can they do that?
First, I believe, is they can use their pulpit time teaching on the issues as a way of engaging. Number two, with the Great Commission is to win the lost, make disciples. We're to raise people up to be the salt and light to the world. So we're really about equipping and encouraging the body of Christ to respond to the hurts in our society and our culture today, to, you know, be the hands of Christ extended, to be the eyes of Christ extended, and to be watchmen. And so the watchman is to watch for the danger and watch for the challenges that may be coming and sound an alarm. And if there's an alarm, there should be an awakening to help people.
The pastors can awaken their congregations to do what? What do they need to do to be on the front lines?
I think, obviously, we don't want to say it's easy, but number one, the folks need to pray. And number two, we need to participate. We need to be involved in the process, that we as citizens have a right and a responsibility to vote our values and to be a voice on the issues of the day. So that's the main thing that every member of a church should do, is we all should vote. We should give a voice to the issues of the day and participate in the process. It's our citizenship right. It's an obligation, and it's a stewardship issue.
So a church should maybe hold a voter registration drive.
Oh, absolutely. Churches can do that. They can hold voter registration drives. You can pass out, you know, voter guides when that time comes, so you can compare the candidates, what their positions and values are, so that we're just educating and informing people. If we properly encourage them and equip them, they will get engaged, and that's what all of us do. I say on both sides, whether it's Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter. We all need to vote our values. We need to participate.
Participation might also mean running for office.
Oh, absolutely. I believe that there are many sitting in the church that could either get on central committees, school boards, run for state representatives and positions. In fact, we are encouraging at FRC pastors to do so, for pastors to lead the charge and consider getting on school boards, consider getting involved at a whole nother level, because those who are sitting in positions of influence and power bring their values to those positions.
I can already hear the pastor say, sounds good. I've got enough on my plate, and how can I possibly do that too?
Well, we understand that many pastors are super busy. It's a calling. I believe that God puts it on the heart. We have pastors that are connected with Family Research Council all across the country who have run for office, different positions, state reps. You know, Pastor Scott Craig was a pastor and served as a state rep at the same time in South Dakota. We have others who have done so. We even have some in Capitol Hill that were former pastors that have run. And so not only can the pastors do that, but the members can do that and be watchmen on the wall and be gatekeepers. And that's what our responsibility is spiritually. So I think God can put it on the hearts of some people. And the pastors that are busy, and we all are busy, it's equipping your people and encouraging them and the people in your church to engage on a local level.
Now, you're a pastor of a church near Columbus, Ohio, congregation of about 500-600 people, and you're out there on the front lines. Some big things are happening in Ohio.
Well, Ohio's critical. As we say as we travel, no Republican, no conservative has won the White House since 1860 who didn't win Ohio. Ohio is shaped in a heart, and we kind of think it's the heart of it all. And so over the last 8 years, we've been spending several years building a network called Awake 88, which is key pastors in each county who will rise up and network together. And I like to think of it this way, that individually, we ourselves are like a stream, a little stream of water, a stream of faith. And if we come together, our streams of faith can create a river of freedom. So by us partnering and coming together, we can stand as a voice for the concerns that we as conservatives, evangelicals, and Christians feel are near and dear. So we are working on a strong network in Ohio that can speak truth to power and love.
Well, you have some results. You think that Ohio turned for Trump as a result of some of the work you folks are doing.
Well, I think our work and a lot of other work done by people in Ohio had a significant impact in this last election, sure. And it came down to really comparing the platforms more than the personalities, because I believe all across America what really caused a lot of the evangelicals to engage was the concern for the Supreme Court. And that should be foremost one of the things we think about, because those are life appointments. And so, yeah, Ohio, our group, the pastors, the evangelicals, the Catholics, I believe really answered the call in Ohio this time, because Ohio is one of those critical swing states.
But you're just not engaged during the election season. You're active throughout the year on a variety of issues that impact Ohio. How do you keep that momentum going among the pastors?
Well, we need good communication, and there needs to be passion. I believe that when we frame it this way, America is at a critical point. We have a window of an opportunity in these next few years to what I call build an infrastructure, to be infrastructure-driven as much, if not more so, than the issues that drive us. And so then what we're doing by doing so is building something that can be generational. And so if we're at a critical point in our country, which we are, it's our responsibility. I believe there's three stages in life: learning, earning, and returning. And the mature at that returning phase realize we've got to pass something to this next generation. And it's on our watch that we must stand up on some of these critical issues for Christ and to begin to build an infrastructure that I think that will help the next generation.
Well, some big things are happening in Ohio and other places around the country, but we're in the blue state of Illinois, and it's a whole different ballgame here. Can that work in Illinois?
I believe it can. I believe that it takes time. You know, you do not plant an apple seed today and have applesauce tomorrow. It takes time. So, number one, we've got to be very strategic about building relationships across the state, planting seeds of righteousness, engaging in the process, taking the gates of the city, and getting involved. But I absolutely believe over a period of time that it's almost like, if you will, a tug of war. And whoever gets the most hands on the rope is going to pull. So there's a clarion call going out for the righteous and the God-fearing to stand up in the seize this moment to be engaged at a whole new level. And yes, it will take some time, but I believe that you can.
When you say build infrastructure, you're not talking about roads and bridges, but what are you talking about?
I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about knitting hearts together, passions together of people who love the Constitution, love our freedoms, love America, and building an infrastructure of communication and networking together. So when you look at a large net, and I will hold a net up from time to time and say, what do you see? And they say, I see a net. And I'll say, no. What you see is strong threads that became strong knots that made a strong net. So when we network together, it's an infrastructure of people who come together and communicate, and we coordinate our efforts together on a statewide basis.
I would think that your pastor's network, the Watchman on the Wall, would be kind of actively recruiting youth pastors, because this generation right now has been indoctrinated in the public schools. They don't know about American history, and they don't know why same-sex marriage is bad, etc.
Right. Well, obviously, the what we learned in ninth grade civics class, 40 years ago, is very different than today. So yes, we must reach the youth pastors. We are reaching the millennials, and bringing and helping them get a Christian worldview, properly teaching and making disciples the way the Bible says. Then we engage from there. So yes, we're working towards reaching the millennials, and they want to know the truth, and there's a real hunger there, and that gives us great encouragement and excitement.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. We'll continue our conversation with J.C. Church with the Family Research Council after this.
Hi, this is Kurt Jarris, the host of Veracity Hill. Veracity Hill is a radio podcast dedicated to striving for truth on faith, politics, and society. I don't have all the answers, but join me as I explore important topics with guests from respective fields. To learn more, text the word VERACITY to 555-888. That's VERACITY to the number 555-888, or check out our website at veracityhill.com.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, and our guest is J.C. Church, the Midwest Regional Director of the Family Research Council. He's pastor of a church near Columbus, Ohio, and some big things are happening in Ohio. The Watchman Network helped orchestrate passage in your General Assembly of a bill that would ban abortions when a heartbeat is detected. Wow. This is an example of the impact that churches can have in their states.
Well, I believe if the pastors, Christians, and people who care on these issues speak up, it will make a difference. It's true. At the end of last year, the Senate and the House, a representative, passed the heartbeat bill so that if a heartbeat is detected between 5 and 7 weeks, there could be no abortion in Ohio. It passed the House and the Senate. Unfortunately, our governor vetoed it. I did a meeting and I said the moment he signed that veto, his ink pen became a knife and he jabbed it in the heart of 20,000 children who are aborted in Ohio every single year. We are not going away on this issue. We're going to continue as pastors and people who love life and care about life to work with our legislators to continue to bring this bill back again and trust that the governor would either sign it or we would have enough votes to veto it, but we're not going anywhere. We're going to continue to work on this issue, but it's true. The pastors did have a great role. The Christians, the evangelicals, the pro-lifers had a big role of working together and making sure that the voices we have representing us on the legislative branch are fulfilling some of the wishes that we desire. Of course, this is a hot subject. It's a hot topic. And, you know, the reality is we're going to continue to work because we believe life is precious.
Well, this didn't happen overnight. To build up this network, to have that kind of impact in the state of Ohio, how did it all get started?
It takes time. I remember I was praying at the church, and I got up from a time of prayer, and the Lord spoke to my heart, Awake 88. And I began thinking of the 88 counties in Ohio, and I thought, please tell me we've got like a modern-day Bonhoeffer, a strong leader in each of those counties. So I started working with pastors, a few here, a few there, and over the years we've built and partnered with our State Family Policy Council, Citizens Community Values, certainly Family Research Council, who I work with now, and began to work with all of the networks together to find the guys who really want to be trained and equipped and empowered to engage at a whole new level. And so it's taken a few years to build, but we have, you know, significant numbers of guys who care about the moral issues of the day and are engaging and encouraging their people to do the same. So, yeah, it's been a lot of work, but it can be done.
So if we wanted to build that network here in Illinois, that type of network, maybe we all have to steer clear from the big churches and look to the smaller churches?
Well, generally speaking, some of your bigger churches, I have found, may not touch on a lot of these sensitive moral issues. There are some that certainly do, that are out there. They just need to be found. I know, you know, some great guys all across the country who speak up. But you'll find that, by and large, a lot of your smaller churches are speaking up very, very strongly. There's a number of issues for that. But I believe if you're going to build a network in the 102 counties of Illinois, and you've got great leaders, Dave Smith, you've got Pastor Pat, key leaders. In fact, we're finishing a meeting today, meeting with some pastors, that, you know, if you begin to identify key leaders in that 102 counties and start building along with other parishes, parachurch ministries, other organizations, that we've got to come together and work better together with other Christian organizations that are out there. That's how you can advance it quicker.
One of the things you touched on in this meeting in Aurora with pastors and other faith leaders is that pastors can mobilize their congregations to make calls to lawmakers to actually set up a meeting with their state lawmakers.
I strongly encourage you to do that. As a citizen, you should do that. You should know who your representative is, know who your state senator is. You should pray for them, and we strongly encourage the pastors to know them, to meet with them, add value to them, ask them how you can pray for them, and build that relationship. Let's be the salt and light of the world. Let's love God and love people. And so, yeah, we do that. And then when the issues come up that we care about, as citizens, we should be calling our lawmakers and saying, look, here's how I feel about this. Here's how I'd like to see you vote on this, that we begin to exercise our rights and our responsibilities to voice on those issues, because they want to hear from us. And so when they hear from us, it helps them make their decisions. It's important that we do.
And don't always complain to them, but give them a word of encouragement and tell them that you're going to be praying for them.
It's essential. Yeah, absolutely encourage them. They're serving us. They're, you know, we're their constituents in their districts, that you want to let them know that as their constituents, you're praying for them and you care for them. Yeah, don't always just call when you're complaining about something. I mean, that, you know, we want to have a relationship. So we train our guys, let's have a relationship. Let's cultivate and build a relationship, a working relationship with these legislators so they can hear your heart.
Here in Illinois, we're fighting a couple of bills that have been passed by the General Assembly. One would mandate that taxpayer dollars be used to fund abortion. Another would allow folks who are, say they are transgender, to change the sex on their birth certificates. These are bills that are now to the governor. So what should faith leaders and people in churches be doing now to encourage the governor to veto this legislation?
I would strongly encourage them to pray. I would strongly encourage them to send an email, even a snail mail for those of us who are a little older that remember writing a letter and mailing it if need be, and certainly calling and leaving a voice message at the Capitol, expressing your feelings. I also would reach out to your representatives to let them know how you feel about these issues, as everybody does on both sides of any issue. But let's not be silent, because our silence is an endorsement and our absence is an acceptance. And the believers and the church is in fact the consciousness of a nation. And we should not think it strange when the abnormal becomes the normal, when we go quiet and our conscience goes silent. So we must begin to speak up in love, and it's your right. And really, it's your responsibility as a believer. It's a stewardship issue, too. I mean, we really should be doing these things.
If pastors sit on the sidelines and their congregations kind of hold out, too, where does that take our nation?
Well, like I said earlier, if we go silent, we endorse it. And what we avoid, we accept. And so, you know, if the light gets turned off, darkness rules and reigns. And so if the Bible says very clearly, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, a light unto our path. And many times in ministry and on these hard issues, and maybe in some of your listeners' lives personally, they will say, what do I do? I don't know how to get out of this. What am I going to do? What should we do? Turn on the light switch. Turn on the light. The Word of God will show us the path out of every dark, difficult struggle, economically, relationally, and spiritually. And so we need to turn the light on and let the Word of God lead us properly.
And we have a window of opportunity right now that you mentioned in this meeting before pastors.
I sincerely believe that we do. I believe that this next 3.5 years is very, very important. We cannot, you know, when Donald Trump became president, he became our president, not our savior. And for the righteous causes, it has given us more of an opportunity, really, to see if we're going to answer the call. I believe there's a clarion call that we're putting out, asking pastors to pray, to preach, to partner, to work with their state leaders, to network themselves together for the cause of righteousness, so that we can be a voice to anything that threatens the faith, the family, and the freedom. If we go quiet on this issue, then we shouldn't be shocked when the dark clouds roll in and sweep us out in a storm called a tsunami, and we lose all that's near and dear to us that is value-driven.
I have to ask, with this bill here in Illinois that would force taxpayers to bankroll abortions, if we go there and allow that to happen, what's next?
Well, that's true. That's exactly right. What's next? You've put, if the legislators take that much liberty and that much power, what would prevent them from something else that they force on us? And so that's why the body of Christ and your listeners really need to respond on this issue, because the old saying is true, you give somebody an inch, they may take a mile. And you say, well, this doesn't bother me. Well, what if it does the next time, whatever the next decision would be? And so it's something that we really need to speak up on.
Well, if I'm a pastor, maybe I'm a business leader, and I want to be a watchman on the wall. How do I do that?
You know, I would say they could reach out to us. They can reach out to Dave Smith here at the Illinois Family Institute, and they can connect with Pastor Pat, and we could get some information to them. They can go to frc.org as well, Family Research Council's website. There's information there as well, and we'd be happy to serve and talk with them and help them if we can.
What's the website again?
frc.org.
All right. Thank you very much. J.C. Church, Midwest Regional Director of the Family Research Council, you've been a blessing and a wealth of information. God bless you and your ministry.
God bless you, Monty. We appreciate you and the leadership here, and continue your fine work. Thank you.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.